Today I'd like to share a story about something that happened to me when I was much younger. In fact, it happened when I was around the age of 15, a freshman in high school. Like many other young men of that age, I loved to play sports and was a fairly gifted athlete. In fact, I was the starting center and defensive nose tackle on the JV football team that year. And I performed so well that the coaches planned to make me the starting varsity center for the coming year. That was quite an achievement for such a young player, considering there were so many older boys on the team. During this time, one morning after having a long, hard practice the evening before, I woke to find both of my knees so tender I could hardly move them or touch them without severe pain. I was perplexed by the situation because I knew I had not injured myself, yet I could hardly walk on them without severe aching pain. That afternoon, I went to the coaches and told them that I'd not be able to dress out in practice because my knees were so tender and sore. To my astonishment, the coaches didn't believe me. They began to ridicule me, taunt me, and tell me I was just weak, using language that I won't repeat here, but basically they called me a liar and a fake. I was devastated and deeply hurt because these coaches, who were supposed to be my friends, mentors, and role models, had ridiculed me so badly because they couldn't see anything wrong with me. Nevertheless, there was something wrong with me, and I asked my mother to take me to the doctor. The doctor examined me thoroughly, x-rayed me, my knees, and after finding no signs of injury, diagnosed me with Osgood-Schlatter disease, or as it is commonly referred to, growing pains. The website kidshealth.org has this to say about Osgood-Schlatter disease. Though it's one of the most common causes of knee pain in adolescents, it's really not a disease, but an overuse injury. OSD can be quite painful, but usually resolves itself within 12 to 24 months. Osgood-Schlatter disease is an inflammation of the bone cartilage and or tendon on the top of the shin bone, the tibia, or the tendon from the kneecap, the patella, attaches. Most often, only one knee is affected. In my case, it was both knees. OSD usually strikes active adolescents around the beginning of their growth spurts, the approximately two-year period during which they grow most rapidly. Growth spurts can begin any time between the age of 8 and 13 for girls and 10 and 15 for boys. OSD has been common in boys, but as more girls participate in sports, this is changing. Teens increase their risk for OSD if they play sports involving running, twisting, and jumping, such as basketball, football, volleyball, soccer, tennis, figure skating, and gymnastics. Doctors disagree about the mechanics that cause the injury, but agree that overuse and physical stress are involved, unquote. So after a few weeks of rest, my knees did eventually heal. But after being treated so poorly by these coaches, I decided to give up football, never played it or any other organized sport again. Ironically, that same year, my family began keeping the Sabbath, which would have made high school sports difficult anyway, but I'll never forget the harsh lessons I learned from that experience. Brethren, I believe most of us here today are a bit past the age of physical growing pains. However, as God's spiritual children, we all go through painful struggles in our lives, which we refer to as trials or tribulations. You know, in Acts 14:22, the Apostle Paul tells us that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. I know Lynn and I have experienced our fair trials of late, and as I look out over this congregation, I know that the same is true for many, if not all of you. Whether it be the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, financial challenges, a health issue, a particular sin we're struggling against, or maybe even a hostile family mate or family member. We all have our struggles. In fact, there are many scriptures which tell us that those who are called by God will experience trials and tribulations. I won't ask you to turn there, but in Psalm 34:19, we are told, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Brethren, we must as God's children suffer afflictions. Why must we as God's children suffer afflictions? I'd like to attempt to answer that question by examining five reasons God allows us to go through trials and tribulations. So the title for my message today is Spiritual Growing Pains. Reason number one, trials help us to develop humility. Brother, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 25:9 says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. So humility is an essential quality that we must develop in order for God to be able to work with us and teach us his ways. Sometimes God uses physical trials to help teach us humility. The Apostle Paul understood this. If you would please, turn to 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll read verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And I'd like to read this from the New Living Translation, because in this particular instance, I think it does make this point a bit clearer. It says, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. So Paul learned humility through the trial of his infirmities, and brethren, so do we. Though we may be suffering from a physical infirmity or a health trial today, we must always remember that we are learning humility, and in the end, God will deliver us from all these trials. Peter understood this when he wrote in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and that he may lift you up in due time. Brethren, God will lift us up in time if we learn the lessons of humility. Again, you don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs 22:4, we're told, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So, brethren, trials do help to teach us humility. Reason number two, trials help us to develop patience. Brethren, today, more than any other time in human history, we live in an instant gratification society. Simply stated, we just don't like to wait. However, God tells us that patience is essential to the development of holy, righteous character. When we encounter a trial or a tribulation, we want it to be over quickly. But God works at his own pace, and he often makes us wait to deliver us from our trials, doesn't he? If you would please turn to Romans 5. That's Romans 5. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. And I'm going to be reading this out of the King James Version. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Brethren, we need patience. The Apostle James, understood this. Let's look at that in James 1. It's James 1, read verses 2 through 4. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. What does James mean, count it all joy? Well, we'll get to that answer later on. But let's continue. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when we are tested by trials and tribulations, it helps us to develop the patience we need to develop godly character and eventually to inherit the kingdom. You don't need to turn there, but Romans 2, 6 through 7 tells us this, and I'm reading the Revised Standard Version. It says, "For he will render to every man according to his works, to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Brethren, trials and tribulations, difficult as they may be, help us to develop patience leading to eternal life." Reason number three. God uses trials to correct us when we get off track. If you would please, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we'll start in verse 67. It's Psalm 119, 67. It says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Let's skip on down to verse 71. It says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." Sometimes we bring trials upon ourselves by breaking God's law, which produces pain and suffering in our lives. These trials can bring us face to face with the dark side of our human nature. When this happens, we need to examine ourselves for sins, such as pride, stubbornness, selfishness, gossiping, holding grudges, being critical, or you fill in the blank. Once identified, we must repent and work to correct and change our behavior with the help of the Holy Spirit. In addition, as the psalmist reminds us, we should not neglect God's word. Studying the Bible helps us to make changes in our spiritual lives. You know, even though we do sometimes bring trials on ourselves, in his love, God uses them to correct us and to put us back on the right path. Again, you don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12 says this, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights." So, brethren, God uses trials to correct us. Reason number four. Trials test and help us increase our faith. The scripture we should all be familiar with is Hebrews 11:6, which tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Brethren, we need faith. And when we study God's word, it helps us to clearly see God's hand in helping us through our trials. This in turn helps us to produce a greater faith and trust in God. Many of us have already passed critical tests of faith when we were first called into the church. No doubt some of us are going through these tests now. You know, it's not easy to stand up for God's truth and tell your mate, family members, and friends that you'll no longer keep Sunday or traditional holidays, but will instead keep the Sabbath and biblical holy days. As a result, most all of us have suffered strained relationships with family members, and many have endured mild to severe persecution at the hands of loved ones. In addition, many of us have lost jobs when we had to tell our boss that we'll no longer work on Saturday. But you know, God has delivered us and helped us through these trials, and as a result, our faith has increased year by year. Brethren, we're not alone in our trials of faith. In fact, Hebrews 11, which is known as the faith chapter, is full of examples of individuals who were tried and tested, resulting in ever-increasing faith in our God. If you would please turn to Hebrews 11, and let's read about a few of them. Hebrews 11, we'll start in verse 32. Hebrews 11, 32. It says, what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, become valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepted deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Brethren, just as these men and women were tested in their day, so too are you and I today. If you would please turn to 1 Peter 1. We'll read verses 6 and 7. It says, in this, and this is referring to our salvation, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brethren, trials, though they may be bitter at the time, help us to grow in faith. Point number 5. Trials and tribulations teaches us compassion. Brethren, we won't turn there, but in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, we learn that Christ himself was made perfect through sufferings. Compassion means to suffer with others and to feel their pain. It is something that needs to be learned in this life, and it can only be learned by suffering. If you would please turn to Hebrews 4. We'll read verses 14 through 16. It says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. He has compassion for us, but was in all points tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Brethren, you and I are in the process of being molded into the image of Christ. That's what the process of conversion is all about. We need to have compassion for others in this life and as teachers in the world tomorrow. When we suffer through a particular trial or tribulation in our life, it helps us to relate to and help others who may be going through a similar problem. You don't have to turn there, but in Galatians 6:2, the Apostle Paul instructs us to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In order to help bear the burdens of others, we must have an idea of what they are thinking or feeling at that time. I've learned from experience that most of the time, we just need to be compassionate listeners. You know the old saying, that's why God gave us two ears and only one mouth. But make no mistake, brethren, God expects us to learn how to comfort others in time of need. He tells us this plainly in His Word. Let's look at that in 2 Corinthians 1. We'll read verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Brethren, in order for us to comfort others, we must learn compassion through the lessons of our own trials." So today, brethren, we've covered 5 reasons God allows us to go through trials and tribulations in our lives. The bottom line is this: God knows what He's doing in each of us. He is the potter, we are the clay, and He is molding us and shaping us through the trials and tribulations of this life into the perfect image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So what did James really mean when he said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials"? We find the answer in 1 Peter 4. In verses 12 and 13. It's 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. It says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So, brethren, no matter what trial or tribulation you may be experiencing today, endeavor to keep these things in mind. And though it is difficult, strive to count it all joy when you experience your own spiritual growing pains.